Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast is the Bread of Life. I'm Reverend Ray, and I'm happy to be with you for the first small, short time now with you. I wanted to continue on with where we left off on Friday, talking about the prayers of the many. So this would be part two. Amen. And I hope and pray that it bless you like it has already blessed me. Amen. Amen. I do want to remind you real quick that Fish of Bound and Grace broadcasting minister Vanessa Williams is there with Tuesday at 7 p.m. declaring that Prince Rick with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Prince is Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones, February 1st, Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Nubina Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with the Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every third every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. In other words, they got a broadcast coming up next Sunday. Amen. Hour three, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with the Bay Rose, Alton Green, Cleo Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. Please, by all means, go and check us out on the website at WhenChristiansSpeak.com. You'll find a little more information about us. Also, if you have a desire to sow a seed or a donation or love offering into the ministry, you can do so by going to WhenChristiansSpeak.com and clicking on the Donate Now page, okay? All right. Thank you. So with all this being said, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. And we're just going to talk a little bit. We're going to continue with the well, we're talking about the prayers of the many, and the reason, the season that we live in, why prayer is much needed, okay? Father God, we come today to give this broadcast to you. We thank you for every step that you have brought us to through the week. We thank you even for being at the end of the year, do something, God, that we're still in the land we live in, God. We're still above ground. We can still breathe, and we can still praise you and worship God. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, the thousands of people that have died this year alone, all around the world. God, we pray for their families. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bring comfort and our peace, God. We pray that you would show yourself mighty. So today, God, we give this broadcast to you and pray, have your way. Allow only the words that you have desired us to speak to be spoken, God, that it might prick the hearts of men and women. We realize that we cannot do this by ourselves. Every time we try, we fail. So we trust you. We believe you. We will stand fast until you come, God. We will hold on to you until you bless us. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to welcome those that are listening in different parts of the world on the broadcast. Our listening base is broadcast in like over 140 different countries. So I want to welcome you and thank you for listening to us at this time. Feel free to give us a call or check us out on Facebook. We have a few Facebook pages out there, and had to do a lot, a little, some of every different, a lot of different, everything that comes on Christian Speak Talk Radio. We're looking forward to 2021 and things that God will be bringing forth with the broadcast and with the ministry and for you and for me. Amen. So I'll make sure everything is going according to plan. So just bear with me just for a moment. I want to check some things out. Thank you. And then God is so good. You know, when I'm doing this all, God is good. You know, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul truly cries out, hallelujah. My God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for bringing me a man. I thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Lord God. Like I shared on Friday, I had some things that was going on with the body and had to go to the emergency room. Stayed a night in the hospital, and it was all kinds of stuff that was going on. But I'm grateful to God that I'm still in the land of the living. I'm still being able to testify of his goodness and his mercy and the things that he has done truly in my life. Amen. So I'm just grateful to God, man. I am. God is just, you know, I look at my family and friends and people that I know that was in the hospital. Most of them are at home now, and you know they're doing okay. You know they're doing all right. You know, it had definitely been a year of death and a year of hurt and a year of lack and a year of going without. You know, and if we never knew about the power of prayer, we should know it now. It's been a year of division, you know, even among believers, and it's been a year of division among nations, and it's strictly in politics. It's just a year of division, but even through all that, God has kept us, you know. Even through all that, he has kept us, you know, with our mind concentrated and stayed on Jesus. He has kept us, you know, with a desire to want to serve him and to praise him. So, we are grateful to God for that and stuff like that. We know there was nothing that we did that was righteous or nothing that we did was a perfection, because none of those things are true. But we are grateful to serve God and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So for me, I don't know about nobody, I only can speak for myself, that when I truly look back over my life, that I'm grateful for God, what he's done, you know. And that, and listen, let's not get it twisted. Not that I get it right all the time, and not self righteous, none of that kind of stuff. But it's only by the mercies of him, you know, that many of us, including myself, are still here. That he, you know, that he hasn't given, he hasn't threw us to the towel, threw us away, and stuff like that, cast us away. But he's still holding on to us. He's still showing us love and favor and everything like that. He's still giving us the opportunity to repent and to believe in him and to trust him and to love him and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to love our brothers. So he's still giving us the opportunity to do those things. So therefore, we are grateful in him and those things, you know. We're grateful to him and stuff like that. And I was thinking earlier, before I came on the broadcast, I was thinking, you know, do we want to be, you know, our desire is to please him. You know, I know I'm off subject about the prayer and everything, but just bear with me. Our desire is to please him in all that we do, you know, to please him, you know. And because there's a warfare of the flesh that goes on, what that we'll do is we'll say things that's not pleasing to him, you know. But thank God for the cross and thank God for the resurrection, because all of those things were paid on the cross, you know. All those things were paid on the cross and stuff. So, you know, we want to be in a place where that we're able to learn, you know, as we go through life. Well, you know, as God begins to groom us and grow us and to prune us, you know. And pruning, I mean, by cutting away things that are dead in our life, cutting away things that are not good for us, things that we do and things that we say that we have no business saying anyway, let alone as believers and stuff like that. But that's what the whole purpose of the of sanctification is to sanctify us daily. Paul said in the scripture, he said that I die daily. He said, I die daily. And that's what we should be in. We should be in a place that we are dying daily. You know, then we're going to, listen, we're going to always have troubles and trials and tribulations and stuff. We're going to always have enemy and people coming against us. We're always going to be into the end of days until Jesus comes back, some type of form of sickness or virus or anything like that, or things that take people out. There's going to always be something that's happening that upset the normality of just life as we know it. But it's still all that being said, it's still part of life. There's going to always be those things. There's always going to be the poor that you have will have with you always. There will always be the poor, and there will always be until the end of days, until we take our last breath, until Jesus comes back, the rich. And there will always be those that are full of greed, and there will always be those that will hate people based off the color of their skin, or what god that they worship, or you know, or whatever they even based off the fact of who they love, whether it be male or even there be all the people they hate it. And for all those different reasons, people will find a reason to hate. It's easy to find a reason to hate something or hate someone than it is to find a reason to love, you know. And what we and from a world point of view, but when we look at it from a God point of view, being that God is love, we should always love everybody. And my grandmother used to say, love everybody and hate nobody. Love everybody and hate nobody. What does that mean? But that means that we get to a point in our life that no matter what that person does or say, you might not like what they did, you know, might not like what they said, but you still have a responsibility to love them. They might be your enemy 10 times over. They might have tried to just stab you in the back. But we as believers have a responsibility to love them anyway. Maybe not, don't love the deed, don't love the action, but to love them and intercede and pray for them anyway. To intercede and pray for them anyway. And then sometimes that's not as easier done and said. Because some people don't want you to love them. And I know that we are way off of the top of us. Some people don't want you to love them. They don't feel lovable. So when you do show them some kindness or some affection or some love and you do believe and trust in them and stuff, they're not used to this. So they go into reject mode and think that there's an angle or say, what is it that you want? And because they have been hurt by many times before, they have gone through some things many times before, so they have a defense mechanism up. They have a defense mechanism up. But the only thing that can break down those defense mechanisms is that when we begin to pray, or the prayers of the many, those are the things that begin to break down barriers. And that's basically what we're talking about today. We're talking about breaking down barriers and everything with prayer. You know, breaking down, opening up doors with prayers, you know, of the intercessor, or prayers of the many, you know, closing doors that should be closed with prayers of the many. Jesus said that when there be two or more with you, I'll be with you. He didn't say that there had to be a whole army of us. I think last week I was talking about intercession or prayer work. So I said that there's special forces. Everybody is not part of that. Special forces of warriors, and to be a different group of warriors, and just, you know, with prayer and everything, you know, everybody can't fit that. That don't fit that mode. They don't have that. That's not the calling or the mandate that God has given them and stuff and everything. So, but that's what prayer warriors, and that's what intercessory people we do. We break down barriers, you know. We cast out demons. We do this all for the namesake of Jesus Christ, not that we can get any glory, and not so that we can get rich or anything like that. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of ministry was never for us to get rich doing it. You know, never for us to get rich doing it. It didn't mean that we can't eat of the fruit of what we're doing, but we want supposed to be to a point where we depend more on the riches than depend more on God. And if you know more God, the more that you have, the more that we have a responsibility to give back. it has a responsibility to give back and everything. And that's the place and the time and the season that we're living in now. We are calling on all prayer warriors. We're calling on intercessors. You know who you are and stuff. You know that you have been set aside for a ministry. You're not everybody's called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be an apostle, a bishop, whatever. But some people are just called just to pray. Some people are just called just to intercede on behalf of the people of God. It seems like they're wavering back and forth there and everything. You know, some people are just called to pray and intercede just for the remnant and nobody else and stuff like that. For those in leadership, some people are just called to pray for even those that's in leadership that are struggling with their own flesh and their own desires and within their own family, let alone what's going on within the body of Christ, let alone what's going on within the church. So people are struggling, so therefore hence the need to pray, and to pray not just sometimes, but to pray often, and to pray daily, and that every time you think about it, set up a prayer, you know, about for someone other than yourself or other than what your needs are and stuff. But send up some prayer and everything because it's much needed and stuff like that, especially with everything that we have been through in 2020. We have been through a lot. You know, there are 20, many of us have lost loved ones, and many of us would never be the same, whether it's financially, whether it's health-wise, you know, whether it's job-wise, you know, whether it's relationship-wise. We will never, ever be the same after this because there has been, for many of us, many in thousands and thousands, has never been a year like this. There's never, people has always struggled and gone through and gone without, but there's never in a long time been a year like this one. We can't compare it to anything because the last time something like this happened, whether it was the epidemic or virus or whatever, it was probably about back in the 20s or whatever and stuff like that. Maybe there's some countries in the United States that have gone through similar things, but nothing like this other than the United States. But nothing like to the scale and the magnitude of the amount of deaths that have taken place or the amount of people that have gotten sick. And those that want to say that the war is not that bad and 99% of the people get over it and everything. But yeah, but you're concerned about the 99%, but what about the 1% that don't? What about the 1% or the more than 1% that will have effect of it for the rest of their days? They maybe not be able to breathe like they used to be able to breathe for the rest of the days, for the rest of their life, you know, and stuff like that. What about them? And, you know, we're only talking about the ones that die when we talk about the 1%. But what about the ones that don't die? They have to live on, and they live on with the outcome that is not in their favor. They struggle every day. They're emotionally distressed and depressed and everything because everything is not the same. They can't look at life different. So, yeah, if you're doing well and everything is okay, and what about those that are, because of the income and the loss of wages and that are struggling and for food every single day and even to the point of the holiday and because we put so much things or material things and possess it. We forget what the real reason for the season is. And what about them? Yeah, we're living in a time that we should be completely engulfed in prayer. Every time we get a chance, that we should be praying for the many, you know, or the many that praying now. We should be engulfed in the prayer right now. We should. That should be a major focus with us and everything. When the people are hurting, and when I say praying, I'm not just talking about giving words to God and praying that things get better, but I'm also talking adding other stuff with the prayer. Because sometimes actions, prayer is action, but sometimes other actions are needed. Whether they be bringing somebody a bowl of soup or whatever kind of food or whatever that they need, whatever their needs are, you know. You know, I was with a group on Friday, and they were talking about, you know, just going down to the drugstore and paying for somebody's medication and paying it forward and stuff like that. People, there's a need out here that is growing deeply, and stuff like that. And a lot of times we don't realize stuff like that because we're caught up in our own world. What I'm going to eat today, what I'm going to do this, how I'm going to pay this bill, how I'm going to do that, you know, what I can do about the church that's in my circle, the people that's in my circle, or how I'm going to do this, and, you know, all these different things that come up. But you know, that we have to realize now that the time that we live, the world is bigger than our circle. We should know that now just based off the internet. Like I said earlier, stuff in this broadcast, I'm listening based in well over 140 countries and stuff like that. Well over 140 countries, different things, you know. And no doubt there's probably some that don't even understand our language and stuff, you know, don't understand English. I have a general idea, a basic understanding, speak very little English and everything. But we have a mandate, not just at the broadcast, but we as believers have the mandate to go forward, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the nations, in all the land, in all every corner of the world, and stuff like that. And hope and pray that there'll be someone there to interpret it with them through the Holy Spirit, or to teach them wherever they might be. We're living in a time. Do you realize there has been a great increase in web-based or social media ministries, a great increase. Everybody doing it. I'm not mad at nobody about doing that. You know, our numbers are not as great as they used to be, but I'm like, it's okay as long as the word of God is being preached. You know, I'm okay with that. You know, our numbers are not great like it used to be and everything, and any of the platforms that we have, you know. But I'm okay with that, and I don't feel like that I'm failure. As long as we're able to just to reach one person, as long as we're able to pray or intercede just for one person, I'm okay with the numbers being low, you know, because it was never about the numbers in a way, but it's about being obedient to the calling that God has on our lives. It's about being obedient to spreading the good news of the gospel to everybody. It's about that, y'all. It's about the being obedient to show people a more excellent way. It was always been about that. You know, nothing else. Everything else don't mean anything. You know, it goes down to nothing. It goes back to dust, so to speak. It don't mean anything, whether it be fame, whether it be money coming in, or padding, or gifts, or don't want to see what all those things are good and everything, but the main task of what we have been given to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting people know that there is a bomb in Gilead, to restore the hope and everything of those that may feel lost, especially those that might be at the brink of suicide, that's going through depression and they can't fight it by themselves and they need some help. And that's basically what it is that we do. That's basically all it is that we do. We are an exhorter and encourager of the brother, that you should live and not die. That's who we are. We are an encourager and exhorter for my sister, that when she's right up against the wall and she's been beat way too many times, that there is a bomb in Gilead, there is a way out, and the way out is through Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's what we do. That's what we who we are, and that's what we do. You know, we're an encourager. We don't always speak with the excellence of speech, and we don't have all the education and the homileticals and the all that kind of exegetical correctness that is needed in some cases. But what we do have is the love of Christ, and based on the love of Christ, that's what we speak. That's what we pray in season and out of season. Man, that's what we do. We care about the life and the cares of others. We care about what they're feeling and what they're going through. We care about their pain because we know that we have someone that can heal the pain. We care and desire that they should know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us. He wasn't, they didn't have particular people. He just died for the Jews, or he just died for just certain people. He died for all. Oh, and that in itself is just amazing, man. That's just amazing to know that who it is that we serve. Amen. Who it is we serve. I want to do a couple things real quick. I didn't have a scripture, but I just feel the need to let you know that you are not alone. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're facing, no matter, I don't care how difficult, I don't care how many doors is closing on you, I don't care what the doctors are saying to you, I don't care, you may be maybe listening and maybe on the respirator, you're on your last breath, but I'm telling you what God can do. I've seen them in action time after time and time just in my life and in the lives of others, and because he has no respect for person, I know that he can do it for you too. He has no respect of person. Y'all don't know that sometimes it's even a struggle. Young people think the preachers are a certain way, but preachers go through stuff too, probably 10 times more than you think they do. They struggle with stuff and everything. They have doubt. Somebody asked me a while back, do I ever get, not tired, but do I ever get to a point where I question my own faith? I'm like, yeah. You know, we preachers and men and women of God are no different. There'll be times you're like, okay, God, you know, what's going to happen next? But then there's a peace that has to, for us and for you, that has to come, that place of peace that passes all understanding, that no matter what you're facing in your life, that God would bring you through. I trust God. I trust God, and I want to make sure that my actions prove that I trust him. And I believe him, and I know he's got my back. I trust God. Yeah, we go through. Yeah, we face difficulty. Yeah, we have family issues. Yeah, we have wives or husbands that walk out on us and leave us. Yeah, we have children that end up in jail, end up pregnant. Yeah, so all of those things and then some. And then some. And then some. But yet still we have to continue to believe and trust God. We don't walk on anybody's water. We don't. We don't walk in it. So my thing is for you and for all of us out there, when it comes to preaching, don't put nobody on a pedestal, but trust God. Let God be God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. You know, look to the hills where comes your help. Why? Because your help, our help, your help, my help, our help, comes from the Lord. I will trust God. You know, and I will not lean to my own understanding, but I believe him no matter what. You know, no matter what. So, again, we're getting right to the important of why we do what we do. Why do we pray? Why do we intercede? You know, why am I calling this message the prayers of the many? Because there's a remnant that's out there now that's interceding like crazy. Every time they think or see someone or they have dreams or visions, they are interceding on your behalf. There's the remnant. So the message really is for the remnant. Don't be weary in well doing. Stay the course. Hold on. The message is really for those and for those that need prayer. Hold on. Help us on the way. It's coming. Help us on the way. And even things like, you know, in the political scene, they're saying right now that things don't get worse before it gets better. And that's probably more true than anything because we are living in the last days. Let's call it what it is. We are in the last days. And as time goes on, the raging of the enemy itself is even more so than ever. It intensifies itself. It's intensified because he knows, the enemy knows that time is winding down and Jesus is soon to come. He knows that when you take your last breath and everything, that's it. You know, that's it. The judgment and everything else comes next and everything. So time is winding down for us. I want to do this real quick and we're going to get ready and get out of here and everything because I wanted to go back into the scripture reference that I was looking at today because I was reading about this. And I'm like, again, this is coming out of Acts. It's getting an Acts. I think I'm proud of it. Read a chapter about Peter being in jail and how they prayed, was praying for Peter, and Peter had a visit, and Peter thought he was dreaming, and the angel led him out. And everything. I want you to go back and read the whole story, but this one right here is coming out of Acts chapter 16, verses 18. And this is, now let me go back to 17. 17? Yeah, I think it's 16. I want to read that. I want to set the story. So that's why I'm reading ahead of the scripture that we don't want to get to and everything. Yeah, and it says that this is Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It came to pass that we went to pray a certain damsel possessed with a spiritual divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsayers. In other words, you know, I just want to say this real quick. Every time, and you have to notice that when the Holy Spirit is present or God is doing things in your ministry, look around you, because nine times the enemy is around you too, okay? Everybody that's coming to see you or hear you preach or have you pray for them, they don't necessarily have the best interest, okay? There may be another motive behind what they're doing, okay? All right? So just check around you. You know, we should be aware of our surroundings, you know, especially as believers, you know, and everything. And we should be aware of even the people that we come in contact with and talk with, you know, because some of them maybe, not all, maybe some, maybe wolves in sheep's clothing, okay? Just saying it like that. Okay, but let me go back. It says, and it came to pass that we went to pray. This is Paul speaking. There are certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. In other words, she was able to do some witchcraft, okay, by soothsaying. Okay, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. Now, what she's saying is correct. To show them the same salvation, but because it was coming from a source, that this particular source, I believe, this is my personal opinion, I believe that it was, you know, because it was like she was saying it, and she was using her own witchcraft to say who they were. So again, we have to be careful of people that follow us or people that surround us, because sometimes their motive is not as, you know, what you think they are and stuff. My screen just went. Okay, let me get back. Okay. And the scripture 18 says, and this she did many days. She, in other words, she was nonstop. But Paul, the aggrieved, turned and said to the Spirit. He didn't talk to say no more. He said to the Spirit, to his mind, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Paul got tired. It's like, look, I can admit, look, you know, you're saying this over and over and stuff. You trying to like act like you're on the same field and what we're doing and everything. You're trying to take part in the ministry, but you're far from God. That's another reason why we have to be very careful about mixing religion, other religions, and all this other kind of stuff. We have to be very careful about mixing those things, and they don't go together. You know, the message of Buddha and might be cool and everything to some people, but it ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. It should not be definitely mixed with that. And I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying that, but I don't care. and stuff like that. They said that many religions, if they don't preach Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, and the cross and the resurrection, be very wary of W-A-R-A-R-Y. Of it and stuff, okay? In 1916, when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the ruler. In other words, they were like, look, we're going to take y'all before some people. You costing us money and stuff. And with ministry, the thing that we have and what we do as far as going forth in Jesus Christ, they were stepping on some toes that was costing them money, you know. And it shouldn't have the money is the root of all evil. Like they were messing with the money. And there are people in our lives and around us in our circle that they can do anything else but don't mess with the money or don't mess with family. And they come after you, Jack. You know, so they were messing with the money because Paul cast his demon out of this woman, man. Okay? And when his master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them, 20, and brought them into the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble in our city. And only they did, basically, besides preach the gospel, was to tell this woman, tell this demonic spirit to get out of this woman, okay? All right? And teach customs which are not lawful to us to receive the leaders to observe being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate ripped off their clothes. In other words, he ripped their clothes off and managed to be beaten based off what these people are saying. You know, there was no trial of the jury selection. He just went by what these people were saying. 23 says, and when And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. So they got beat, okay? They got their clothes ripped off, okay? And then they got thrown into jail. They had the names scandalized. They got lies told of them and everything. That sounds familiar for many of us. But we're going to go through these things, okay? But, okay, who haven't received, this is verse 24, who haven't received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast and stocked. In other words, threw them inside the jail. The jail inside the jail. And then make sure their feet was fast and start chaining them up. And this is the verse that I'm looking at. I want us to go, because we're talking about prayer. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Is it at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed? Many of us have a midnight moment, okay? And the one thing that we should be doing is on our knees. We should be praying. When you have that midnight moment, you should be on your knees and pray. It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. See what I'm saying? That sometimes when we sing praises, sometimes when we're praying and everything, and we're doing it because we love and we trust God, but it's to benefit not only us, but more so to benefit somebody else. It's in the Bible, and the prisoners heard them. You know, and the prisoner heard them praying and heard them singing praises unto God. And how many hearts at that moment, at that time, in jail, locked up, chained up, beaten up, and stuff. At that time, did it prick the hearts of men because they was praying and because they was singing praises unto God. They were glorifying to God. They was having church in jail. They was having church in jail. That's the two of them. But they were loud enough so that other people could hear them. You know, they were bold. They was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they was willing to praise God anyhow. You know, that song, they were song about hallelujah anyhow, and I don't know the rest of the words, but they was willing to do those things. Man. And 26:4 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. Wait, the earthquake. Why? Because they are praying and they're singing praises. There is power in prayer, and there is power in praise. And when you put the two of them together, I believe something got to happen. You have a sincere, something got to take place, man. You know, here, an earthquake. It says, suddenly, which means, in other words, immediately, right? Like right away, all of it, out of nowhere, there was this great earthquake. So that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, every single door. There had probably been some people that was locked up in the jail so long, and that the door wouldn't open anyway, and everything they got was through. But even that door, the doors that was unopenable were open. All the doors. I don't know how big the jail was, the prison was, and everything, but the Bible says all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loose. Everyone's. So if you were chained at that time, if you was a prisoner, maybe you had been a prisoner for years, and you knew you were going to die, but even your bands was loose. It's the awesomeness of the God that we serve. Even your bands were loose, because two men decided that even though they were in a situation, in a place of darkness, and most of us probably have been in despair and crying, and who is me, they decided to do something about it, and instead of complaining about it, they began to pray, and they began to praise God. They began to pray, and they began to praise God. And because they were willing to do that, things began to happen all around them. Okay, and it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. He was sleeping, earthquake, woke him up, come on. And seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been bled. He was willing to kill himself. Because he figured that, hey, like, it was over for him anyway, so he might as well do it himself. He was willing to, they were willing to do it. All right? Well, the Bible said, 28, the book, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Wait a minute. The prison doors are open, all the chains came off, and nobody went anywhere. Nobody. Now, I don't know, because the Bible don't say, I don't know. What would you have done? Most of like I'm ghost. We would be like, I'm out of here, man. And then we could be realistic. We're like, hey, look, okay, and the doors are open. But they were all there. He said, Paul said, we are all here. Nobody went anywhere. Nobody went anywhere. And then it says, then he called for light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul. This is the prisoner, the keeper of the prison. Came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. He said, sirs, what must I do to see? And that's what we want to get to. That's why we pray. That's why we praise God. That's why, so that someone will cry, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life around? That's why we do the things that we do. Yeah, we the end result for us is to be with Jesus. But while we're on this earth, we have an obligation. We have a commandment. You know, we have marching orders to go out, you know, to all the world. That's the results of it and stuff like that. What must I do? He saw all of this and nobody loved. You know, he was willing to throw it away. What must I do to be saved? I want a peace. I want to know about this Jesus. I want him to come into my life and everything. What must I do? What I got to do to be saved? You know, what changes I got to make? What do I, you know, let's get rid of, do I have to pay or is it free? You know, what do I have to become like a Jew? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved? And then in verse 31, it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. In other words, he was telling the gatekeeper, he was telling the head prison warden, he said, look, all you got to do is just believe in Jesus Christ, man, and you'll be saved. But guess what? Your whole house. You know, because what took place back in them days, which is somewhat missing now, they followed the family that followed the whole, whatever the head of the house there. They trusted and they believed in the person that was the head of the house. They knew that the head of the house looked out for the family. So whatever he says went forth. And they'll read them in the day and time. That in many cases, the head of the house is just not men, but in some cases, it's also women. Okay? We're not going to get into that, all that. But we're just saying, Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The head of the house. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And thy house. If they're in your house, they can be saved. Okay? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. They began to speak not only to the man, but everybody that was in his house. And he took them. In other words, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightforth. He took and washed all the stripes and stuff like that. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. All the house, kids, everybody in the house, you know, and when it was the day, the magistrate said to the sergeant and saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrate has been sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. You stop right there. Go in peace. All of this, y'all, took place because of the enemy was trying to mess up some stuff. All of this took place, even when they got in jail, because they did. The couple of things, they prayed and he sang praises unto God. The power of your prayer, the power of your praise, especially during conflict, especially during trials and tribulations, especially during those times, man, I just, also, I'll be there, just hold on. Just continue to pray. And I have to tell this to myself, too, all the time. You know, Ray, just continue to believe God. Ray, just continue to trust God. Ray, just continue to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Pray and praise Him and worship Him no matter what you feel, because it's not about our feelings in a way. Pray and worship, because you know that he is in spirit, that we got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Pray and worship Him because you trust Him and you've seen Him, God, in action, that He promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Pray and worship, whether people love you or they don't love you, whether you're alone or whether you're with somebody. Pray and worship, whether you're in the hospital, no matter what. Pray and just continue to pray and worship. Continue to pray and worship God. Don't give up. Don't give in. You know, I was talking to someone this week and everything, and they were really in depressed, and they feel like they had failed God and all these different things that was coming up within them, and I began to talk with them as if I was talking to my own self. I began to talk to them, and I was like, who told you that? Who told you that you failed? Who told you that God is not pleased with you and stuff like that? Who told you that? I said, well, consider the source. Well, because I'm not doing this. I said, ain't none of us there. Otherwise, we'll become more self-righteous than anything. But our righteousness is filthy, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ made it possible for us to be even able to be where we are now, to receive His mercy and His grace. It's His righteousness. It ain't ours. He knew that we would miss it and everything. He knew that we would get depressed. He knew that we would feel alone. He knew that we would feel failure. But there's no failure in Him, and He doesn't want us to feel that way. Because in the scriptures, he told him, I've already overcome the world. He said, I've already did all the price. Everything that was done on the cross, He's already did it for us. So our way of thinking has to change. I told him, I said, our way of thinking has to change. It can't stay the same. You can't look at it like that. And he said, when you get like that, yeah. Again, there's not another person. It's not the same person I said earlier. But someone, yeah, of course we do. This is a warfare against the flesh. You know, and anything that the flesh wants, it's going to fight. You know, and if it is, it's going to fight to keep it and everything like that. You know, and it'll put ideas in your mindset. But he was coming from there, that thoughts that come to his mind, and I was saying to him, it's like, look, man, look, let me tell you this, man. The truth of the matter, and those thoughts come, but don't dwell on them. Okay? Don't be captivated by those thoughts. You know? We're gonna get thoughts. But don't be captivated by them. Put those thoughts on subject, put them underneath our feet. They're subject. Keep our mind on Jesus. Let the renewing of our mind be with Christ. You know, think like that. Think of those things that are true. Those things are pure and holy and are a good report. Think of those things. If the Bible says they're being written, think of, that's what we do, y'all. That's what we're doing. We're doing those things. Amen. Amen. But my time is up and I'm out of here. And I just want to say thank you for listening. I hope this message blesses you and encourages you. Don't give up. Don't keep on holding in. Holding on, and I want to let you know right off the bat that many people that are praying for you, they have never met you a day in their life, but they're interceding on your behalf. Okay, you are not alone. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you've been going with Christ and a Christian or a religious believer for a long time or whatever. Okay, you might be a backslider, all that stuff. You know, there is, Jesus is still there for you, okay? You may not have known Jesus, your Lord and Savior. You might be a Muslim or whatever the case is, but Jesus is still there for you, okay? He's knocking at your door as we speak, okay? He's knocking on your door. Maybe you and your family has gone through some hard times with this COVID virus and everything like that, and lost loved ones or lost your job or whatever. Jesus is still on the throne. He's the bomb and get it. I want to encourage you just to keep on holding on. Don't give up, but to be strong in the power of His might. Okay? Be strong in the power of His might. Don't give up. Don't give in, but trust God. Trust God. Find a Bible believing church. I know that we don't, a lot of churches are not open, but they're doing Zoom I'm telling you, man, technology is a good place there because most churches are doing Zoom calls or Facebook Live or whatever video and everything. Listen, okay, time to find out some teaching, you know, that would teach you the ways of Christ, okay? Some teaching biblical principles and teach you about the love of Christ and that kind of stuff. You know, don't go to try to avoid churches that you know have ulterior motives and you know them by the fruit. There you go. You know the church or the place that you got a fruit. You know, and by praying and asking God, send me to some place or send someone to me, and He'll do just that. He did just that. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come today to thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for the words that have been spoken, Lord Jesus. We pray that it be a blessing to those that are listening all across the world, no matter where they at, no matter they be rich or poor, God, whether they be downtrodden, whatever the case may be, God, we know, Lord Jesus, that you died on the cross for them. So, God, show them a more excellent way. Remind us that our believers, Lord Jesus, that you are still with us and that you have never left us nor forsaken us. Keep us focused on the things of you, Lord Jesus. Allow those to know, Lord Jesus, whether it be politicians, whether they be family members, whether they be preachers or the gospel, God. Allow them to know that we are living in the last day, Lord Jesus, that we should seek out the more of the things of you and less of the things of this world, God. Help us, God. Cause us, Lord Jesus, to seek out to you, Lord Jesus. Cause us, God, don't leave it up to our discretion, but just cause us to worship you and praise you and seek out to you. We pray for complete wholeness and healing within the body and for those that need healing, God. We pray for the souls and the salvation of the many, for those that you have chosen for such a time as this, God. We pray for hope to be restored. We pray for marriages, Lord Jesus. We pray for single families that are raising their kids and are struggling, God. We pray for finances, Lord Jesus. But more than that, we pray for the salvation of the souls of men. God, salvation of the souls of men and women, God. We pray, Lord, to you that you would give dreams and visions of your purpose and your plan that you have for us, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that when that person that's about to take their life right now today, God, that's about to throw it in the tower, that's about to do something to the whole family, God. We pray, God, that you would send a ministering angel, Lord, to stop them in the track, to show them your grace and your love. Show them love, Lord Jesus, like you have shown it to us, Lord Jesus. Show them your favor, God. Allow them to be a testimony of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of our Almighty God. Come, Holy Spirit, today. Come with all your might and your glory. We thank you for the day that we live in today, God. We thank you for every trial, every test that have come even our way. Some of those things might have knocked us to our feet, but we are able to get back up because of you, and we are grateful today. Some things was meant to take us out, Lord Jesus, but we are still here in the land of the living. We are grateful today, God, and we give you all the glory, all the power. Give your name the glory and the power. All the glory and the power, all the honor belongs to you, for you are worthy to be praised. We do pray this prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Again, everyone, I want to thank you for listening to One Christmas Week Talk Radio. This has been A Better Life. I'm Reverend Ray, and our topic is prayer for the minute. This has been part two. I encourage you to go back to listen to part one. And then please share if you have an opportunity to share on social media or different sites or whatever. But please just feel free to share. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so by going to onechristmasweek.com or just giving us a shout out on our Facebook page. Or you can also email us at whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. So you be blessed, and thank you for listening. God bless you and love you. God bless you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.